And it's not about pleasing other people. It's not about making a ton of money. It's about me feeling, being able to sleep good at night, knowing that I'm doing what it is that I need to be doing for myself right now, right this moment.
Joe Vega, welcome to the Ginny Show.
Thank you, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Well, Joe, I have to say, like, since I moved to New York, you know, I've been kind of meeting different people and obviously training with different people. And, you know, I was very blessed to come across you in your gym Throwdown.
Thank you. Thank
and you. I love the service and the vibe there. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Okay. What were you doing before what you were doing now?
Okay.
Give me a little bit of a bio on Joe Vega.
Well, I'm a native New Yorker.
Nice.
Which is hard to come by these days. Got a lot of transplants. No disrespect.
I'm a translator.
You know, I've been in the industry for 15 years. So I started out as a physical therapist. I was always in love with being able to provide rehabilitative care for people who have had injuries in the past or current injuries. I was heavy into sports growing up. So, you know, I figured I couldn't play the sport professionally. So I might as well put myself in a position where I can actually help some of these people, which sounded really nice early on. Until you realize the amount of red tape that you have to step through to get to that sort of lofty space. So, you know, being a brown Puerto Rican kid, you know, I hate to say it, you know, that definitely closed some doors. So I just realized I started having to make my own doors and start carving out my own lane. And I decided to bridge both the rehab and the fitness world. You know, I was coming up in a time where that still wasn't a household thing. You know, there was still very much a separation of, you know, physical therapy, rehab, and fitness training. So, you know, PTs didn't look too highly upon personal trainers, you know, very holier than thou sort of vibe.
Right.
You know, I've got my acronyms after my name. So, you know, you can't sit with me.
Yeah.
And then you have the trainers who, you know, a lot of them sold themselves short in terms of their skill sets and what their potential could possibly be. So I found that space for myself being so into the fitness realm, but seeing my therapist counterparts like not really engaging in that and not really taking the time and just settling for the lane that was prepared for them, you know. So I was fortunate enough to start out at a gym, private training that gave me the freedom to start building my systems early on. And it was a lot of trial and error. You know, I worked out of like one local big box. I was the first therapist to work for them.
Wow.
And I had a manager at the time who had really good vision and understood how important this was for obviously the members of the gym, you know, who want to engage in personal training, but might have some chronic issues that they can't get through, you know, and
right.
being able to be confident in providing them with the services of a licensed individual who can take them through their strength and conditioning and not worry about getting injured or re-injured, you know. But there's a lot of trauma around that. There's a lot of, you know, people talk about PTSD and, you know, when it comes to injury, people leave that element out
of it, yeah.
You know, which is huge, you know. And fortunately, you know, fast forward 10, 12 years now, people are starting to integrate that more often, you know, so you see a lot of these wellness centers, you see, you know, you got the PT, you got the personal training, you got the massage therapist, the acupuncture. So what I envisioned for Throwdown initially was being able to have a space where there isn't any, that intimidation factor that you would typically see in most gyms, but being able to provide a higher level form of training that integrated, you know, the complete body. You know, it sounds generic, but, you know, most people don't get that. They don't understand the connection that happens, you know, with all the various systems in your body when you get injured, and being able to say, okay, how do we take this person, you know, by the hand and through a program where they're confident enough and believe in themselves and the trainer enough to say, okay, well, I'm going to go all in on this, you know, and find the right space. And that's basically what Throwdown was initially, just bringing fun back to fitness, because a lot of these people, they haven't had fun in a really long time. you know,
yeah,
that you,
absolutely.
If you've ever experienced, you know, being in a physical therapy clinic, you know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
You know, no,
yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of friends that they're still in the industry and I respect them. I learn a lot from them. But, you know, I just know that that's not the space for me. And that's not the space for the people that work with me. You know, I'm one of those people that feel like you should be able to do a few different things instead of just being so, you know, specialized, you know, yeah. like just, I'm just going to do this, just PT, and I'm just going to do training. You know, like we should be able to do multiple things, you know, do them well.
There's so many things that you touched on that little bio that you gave me, and I kind of want to go back. There's a few things that I want to cover there, but sure. One thing that really stuck out to me, and with the different people that I've been interviewing, I've been kind of collecting information or collecting yeah. stories on what kind of drives them, what makes them happy and that kind of thing. You mentioned that as a Puerto Rican boy that you experience a lot of doors being closed
sure.
purely because sure. of your yes. you know, identity or because of where you were from or what your background was. Mm-hmm. And after moving to America, I found this dialogue to be quite prominent. Like there's a lot of doors closed because of your race.
Yeah.
And to me, I find it unbelievable and fascinating in the sense of why is that the case? Because yeah. why is this still happening in 2019? But also, do you think, Joe, the adversity that you experienced at that time, do you think that's given you an innate drive?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I say that coming from a place where I try to be as positive as possible. I don't harbor bitterness, resentment towards people that acted in that way, you know, and it, sometimes it was college professors. Sometimes wow. it was graduate school professors who, you know, just felt like, okay, well, this is the typical narrative that we're presented with and you don't fit that. You can't really blame them, you know, it, even though you kind of expect some more critical thinking from these professionals and maybe thinking outside the box and thinking, you know, how important diversity is and to have a pretty thorough representation of the people that we're actually working with, you know. You know, I don't harbor any bitterness towards them. You know, I thank them because it did give me the drive, mm-hmm. you know, and understanding that this is new, you know, it's still relatively new in this country, you know,
yeah.
and I'm quite sure I've done enough traveling to know that there are people in many different places, Australia,
yeah.
you know, that they have to deal with this issue, you know.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. You know, but I think that there's a lot of learning that's taken place over the last few years where, you know, you're starting to see people who are brown, you know,
yeah,
different
yeah.
variations of brown,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
and, you know, being able to step into, you know, the spotlight and being able to have the confidence, you know, and I feel that someone in my position who has, I'm nowhere near where I want to be in terms of success, you know, on a greater scale. But at the end of the day, it's great knowing that someone can look up, like a little brown boy from the Bronx, Puerto
yeah.
Rican kid can look up and say, okay, well, he's out there, he's doing his thing. He's in one of the best cities in the world, you know, doing his thing. And there's a lot of work to be done. But at the end of the day, that's my motivation. It's not about me anymore. It's like, how can I, you know, pave the way, not just for my son and for my family, but for some of these future kids so that way they don't have to go through the stuff that I had to. And, you know, they will go through it, but it's like, how do we respond to that? You know,
yeah.
do you get angry about it? Does it, you know, leave you with this sour taste in your mouth that leads to you know, hate, you know, which doesn't help. You know, it
yeah.
doesn't help. It's easy to do that. You know, the hard part is saying, okay, how am I going to learn from this?
Exactly.
How am I going to get better? How am I going to improve this so that way the guy behind me, he can have maybe a slightly better experience and a different approach to give us all a better name. So that way, you know, okay, well, he's not just the rough head, you know,
yeah.
the roughneck Puerto Rican kid. You know, we knew he was going to act up. That's why we didn't want to let him in the first place. So you don't want to sort of fit those profiles of
yeah.
people. So, and you know, these people that are the key holders, like, you know, I don't want to say that they're in for a rude awakening, but you have to put them in a position where they have to respect, you know,
absolutely.
And when they fail to deliver that, it's not on you, it's on them. You know, and now because of social media, because of all these different methods of getting your point across and you have all these people now that are under the microscope, you know, that have had these beliefs, and some of them, they're getting in a lot of trouble for it, you know.
I like how you said that, you know, you kind of do your part when you're presented with this situation, potential, you know, discrimination or that kind of thing, how you kind of looked at it and you harbored no kind of animosity towards the people that you experience this from. Yeah. It's a very, I guess, a very clear description of, I read this book where it talks about victim consciousness, where when that experience happened to you, you could have gone one of two ways. Yeah. You could have gone, I'm really angry. You could have gone down that path, or you could have gone like, what can I learn from this? Mm. It's kind of hard to move from that state to the more positive outcome and more happier outcome for your life. Yeah. Talk to me about what you kind of did. I mean, you explained kind of, you know, you thought about what is this teaching me, but how did you get to that kind of mindset? Because I'm just fascinated by some of the experiences that you've had. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to not go through the degree that you have, although I've had some experiences like that, but how did you get to that mindset where you're like, okay, I'm going to actually use this as a learning curve?
Well, I think it starts with a strong supporting cast of people that you can surround yourself with. You know, I'm blessed to have a father who's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And he paved the way for me in terms of, you know, listen, you don't necessarily have to just take what's given to you. You know, like there are other opportunities out there. You know, you don't have to deal with certain BS that you feel like you have to deal with. Between that and having an amazing mother who, you know, she was always so supportive of me, you know, and being fortunate to have, you know, friends along the line, you know, some are still here, some aren't, but, you know, they were definitely in a position where they provided me some support during these hard times. You know, you can't be too proud to ask for help every now and then, you know, being able to sit down and be in a historically patriarchal sort of society where Hispanics typically don't ask for help and typically don't, you know, really try to hone in on their own emotions and their feelings, being able to create that space for myself where, you know, I don't mind being by myself and dealing with certain things on my own and giving that thought. But, you know, that and fitness.
Yeah.
Working out.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, it was a strong factor in getting me to sort of divert some of this negative energy, you know, because you're younger. I was, you know, I was definitely a lot younger, and it was frustrating at times, and just being able to get into the gym and do it in a productive way, sort of getting rid of some of that negative energy and refocusing, you know, and understanding that if I don't get through this, there are no other options. I said that to myself almost every day. You know, like you don't have the rich dad. You don't have the trust fund that's waiting for you. You don't have the options that, you know, some other people are privileged to have. So if you don't push through this, then you're going to be in trouble. You know, you're going to be out of luck. So those are pretty much drive factors, yeah.
So there was no other alternative for you to kind of look at other than I got to do this.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like, you know, that was at the time, it was the right attitude for me to have, because you could sit there and just like weigh all the options and, you know, majority of them weren't where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, you deal with it and it makes you stronger in the end. You know, it doesn't feel that way when you're going through it.
I can imagine.
It really doesn't. You know, you want to quit, you want to cry, you know, you want to run away from it. You want to turn your back on it and give up and try something new. And you just have to be resilient, you know? And I think that's what built the backbone of what I am today.
You've clearly acquired a lot of what I call emotional intelligence from your journey. And the fact that you were at the time miles ahead in your way of thinking about physical therapy and education, you thought about, hang on, there's another component to the body, which is the mind.
And we
need to think about what the mind has caused for this trauma or injury or physical reaction to occur.
Yeah.
It's interesting to, like, nowadays when you've set up Throwdown, you said that you kind of want it to be a space where all of that is all encompassing and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think nowadays with, you know, social media and now all these different ways of how to live longer and that kind of thing, do you think the mental and emotional aspect of that plays a huge part? Like, it's coming to the forefront, obviously. Do you think that coming into the limelight has played a huge part?
Well, absolutely. You know, you have so many people that are unsatisfied with their journey so far, you know, and they're looking for outlets to sort of obtain some of that missing link, you know, that makes them feel complete. And unfortunately, we're in an age where there's a surplus of information. And it's very easy, you know, when you've got certain individuals that who you may look up to, you know, and that are in the limelight, that maybe they have good intentions behind the information that they're giving. Some of them don't. Some of them are just making some money, endorsing a product that you know they otherwise might not be endorsing. You know, and I really feel for the individual that's going through their journey, who's not really doing their research. And, you know, there's surface level research that you can do, you know, like a WebMD, you know,
of course,
I've got these symptoms and I'm going to go just click on WebMD and see what that's all about, you know, and then just diving deeper and really trying to understand, you know, like, what is it that I want? Like, what do I really need at this moment in my life? You know, like, is it all about burning fat? Is it all about fitting in the right leggings? Is it like, what is it? What's important to me? I think the self-awareness is at an all-time low because we just don't take enough time to invest into ourselves, to really look at ourselves in the mirror and to see, it may not be what I need for the rest of my life, but for right now, like what is my body saying to me, you know? And unfortunately, you know, like a lot of people have these questions unanswered, you know, and I think that leads them to sort of jump on all of these fads, people that are going to be here for 1 minute and then, you know, they're not going to hear about them down the line because people figured them out, you know.
And it's not long term.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very difficult. I'm bombarded with these questions on a daily basis.
I can imagine.
And, you know, I always stick to my guns. this is where it's important to be grounded and to know what your values are and what's important. And Throwdown, we do a good job of that. We get these questions from everybody that walks in and it's always back to them. Like, what's really working for you? When we assess, like, what is it that you need? What do you want? And it has to jive, you know, like the things that you want versus the actual protocol that we put together, like it has to jive. It has to make sense.
Of course.
You know? So, you know, I feel for people.
I loved how you talked about self-awareness there because I think, you know, you're absolutely right. In the era that we are in where we're getting bombarded and pumped with content and information, we're too busy searching that for that information rather than letting that information sit with where we're at in our lives. And it brings me back to like when I first started my full-on fitness journey. Yes. So I think 2007, I think I lost about 25 to 30 kilos. So I don't know how many pounds that is, but still trying to figure out the math joke. But I remember at the time for me, like I think I had the drive because it was more so, you know, I just finished the bad breakup and I just wanted to kind of feel good. Sure. It was kind of like my quick fix or escapism or what you call it. But my mindset was nowhere near where I needed it to be to sustain that. And I think I didn't have the self-awareness that I do now to be like, okay, it's all about your mind. Cause that really is the general that you use to go through things. So it's interesting when you say that a lot of the long-term goals, I think for things, you know, it's a combination of mindset, self-awareness being one, and also thinking long-term rather than this is a quick fix.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes a lot of the fitness goals nowadays are, I want to get into this dress or this piece of clothing in a certain amount of time. Do you hate to be the bearer of bad news when you're asked this question?
No. I feel like, you know, some of the best lessons are learned when you receive bad information.
You know? Absolutely.
You get the reality check, you know, and I feel like that's my responsibility, you know, like when you go to the doctor's office, you know, it's always amazing how much more receptive people are to what a doctor tells them versus what their personal trainer or their physical therapist tells them. You know, if the doctor tells you, listen, cholesterol is high, take these pills, don't stress out about it, you're going to be okay. If you don't take these pills, you don't listen, you don't make a change, you're going to be in trouble. The change happens almost instantaneous, you know?
So true.
If I give someone similar information, you know, I know it may take one or two sittings or maybe more for me to really convey that information so that way I know that it's sinking in, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we it's a natural thing. You know, we judge people based on their credentials for the most part. And I understand being in this space that I'm going to be subjected to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm comfortable enough with where my intent is, you know, and the amount of education and and knowledge that I've put forth to give someone the best information in the best way, because compassion and empathy are very, very important.
Absolutely.
You know, like people, they want to hear it, but they want to hear it in a way where you're not going to like really hurt their feelings. And, you know, it may take longer to get to a destination than originally intended, you know, and that is tough for some people. But, you know, again, intention is big, and being able to really guide them in a way that's, I had one really good boss who always told me that you have to give them what they want, but then you also have to show them what they need, you know, and that it's huge, you know,
100%.
So, you know, I'm going to get you where you want to go, but you know, there may be some speed bumps along the way, you know, maybe a little turbulent, but at the end of the day, we're going to get to the destination together, you know, like
perfect.
That.
Perfect. Yeah. It's amazing, Joe. The Genie Show. Oh, oh. The Genie Show. Oh, how long it takes. I'm curious to know too, building a business in New York City can be quite difficult. It's a very cutthroat market, very competitive. And, you know, with nearly 8 to 10 million people in this state, the city alone can be quite hard to navigate through and kind of stand out. How do you kind of combat that? What do you do to be innovative? What do you do? How do you still do that and stay aligned with what you've just mentioned here, like being more about the long-term providing value and the sort of self-awareness and correct information to someone?
Well, you know, it's a combination of being true to yourself and realizing the things that brought you to this point in time, you know, having the confidence that you are good at what you do. Honestly, it's a combination of selling out.
There is,
you know, and I'll give you an example of it. So, you know, when we first opened Throwdown, we intended on it being a personal training facility that offered one or two classes, nothing big. You know, we wanted to be known for our personal training. And what we found moving forward was that the classes that we were offering people weren't really interested in it. So, you know, what you do is, okay, well, I can continue to drive my head into this wall, even though I know it's hurting me.
Yeah.
Or you can say, okay, well, maybe we might need to see what's trending. Let's see what's popular. Does it fall in line with our skill sets? Okay. Like, do I have to go out and get a degree to do it, you know, or a license? And, you know, we found, you know, with my partner, John, you know, and myself, he has a lot more experience with mixed martial arts than I do. And we decided to give people a boxing class because that's what people were asking for.
Yeah.
So instead of fighting it, you know, we say, okay, well, this is our demographic. These are the people that are coming to see us, and let's do something that they'll really enjoy, and let's see how good we can be at it. And it turned out that we were actually pretty damn good at it.
Yeah.
You know, and people really enjoyed it. They responded well, you know, and it quickly built. It built itself up. And you have to be able, when it comes to business in New York, you know, there's obviously a lot of competition. But at the end of the day, you know, we're not trying to redo the wheel. You know, it's not rocket science, you know. So, you know, part of it is being really good at what you do, but then also understanding, taking a litmus test and understanding what is the trend right now. What are people interested in? You know, you could have like an innovative thing that you want to do, but it may have to just wait a minute until you develop the following. And so you get people's attention, then you can kind of give them the stuff that you might really want to do. So it's sort of like the end around approach, you know, and you know, we always think that the quickest distance between point A and B is a straight line, but sometimes you got to create the C. you got to go the end around, you know, and unfortunately, when you don't have, like, we didn't have a lot of financial support from other people. We didn't have investors. So a lot of it was coming out of our pocket. So it's like, okay, well, we can keep trying to do this and lose a lot of money, or we can say, all right, well, let's try to get some people in here experiencing who we are. And it doesn't matter what we sell them at the end of the day, because they're going to like it because they like us. You know? So that's how we were able to sort of get on track. You know,
I read this little quote card from Gary Vaynerchuk. He talked about how people think entrepreneurship is, where it's like just a roller coaster where you're just going, it's like an uphill thing. You just keep soaring, but it's like an infinity sign where it's like up and then you go down and up again, you go around. Yeah. So it's exactly
it's
what
a
you
wave. It's like a wave, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very, very true. Joe, I'm also curious. I ask this from all of my guests, you know, you run a business, you're obviously a family man too. Mm-hmm. What is your morning routine?
My morning routine.
And I know some days, like, you may not always do it, but generally, what is your morning routine?
My desired morning routine or what actually happens?
Bit of both. Desired one and what actually happens.
This morning, I really made it a point to, I don't like to eat too early in the morning. I've been waking up at 5:30 every day now.
Nice.
And for me, it's more about me getting in early and getting out early, you know, because I have a son and he's in school and, you know, I don't want to be the dad that he never saw, you know, so I like to pick him up from school. So my routine is basically waking up first thing in the morning. You know, I'll do water. I'll do a little bit of, I have this little turmeric tea that I have that I take back. It's disgusting, but it sort of gets the juices going.
Right, it's
just like straight turmeric. And
it
goes in and it's like one of the best anti-inflammatory.
What's it called?
It's called turmeric.
It's called turmeric tea?
No, it's just turmeric. Like there's a vegetable. There's a root vegetable that's called turmeric.
And then you put it in the tea.
You put it in your tea, or if you're aggressive, I'm aggressive sometimes, and I take it and it comes in like a little shot glass. Ooh. And I just take it down.
Because we put turmeric in our curries in Sri Lanka. So
yeah,
like, how
absolutely.
Is there a tea bag for this? Okay, I'm
going
to have to try this.
There is, but we just go straight for the root.
Okay, we go straight for the root thing.
So that is sort of gets me, it brings my posture up a bit.
Yeah.
I'm standing up. I'm a little taller. And then after that, you know, I jump in the car, I drive down to Long Island City. And, you know, if I get there early enough, I find a parking and, you know, it's beautiful. You go to Gantry Plaza and it's, you know, you get to look at the New York City skyline. And, you know, lately I've just been meditating.
Yeah.
Like I'll post up in front of it, nice weather, and I'll just meditate, you know, and I'll take probably like about 20, 25 minutes, just get my mind right, get my intentions right for the day.
Yeah.
Then I just, you know, jump on the train and head down into the city. And, you know, and the whole time I'm like on the phone texting my assistant what to do and, you know, and just trying to sort as many things out as possible. But, you know, I feel like that setting, starting the day with the meditation is key in sort of keeping me in line, not just with the things I have to do, but remembering the self-awareness.
You know? Absolutely.
And understanding the purpose of what it is that I'm doing, you know, and it's not about pleasing other people. It's not about making a ton of money. It's about me feeling, being able to sleep good at night, knowing that I'm doing what it is that I need to be doing for myself right now, right this moment.
So it's like a constant morning realignment to remind you of where you're at and how you can use that as a compass to have the rest of your day.
Sure.
That's actually one of the most unique morning routines that I've heard of, because, you know, you talk about your turmeric shot and you jump in the car and then you drive and then you meditate. I like how you find your own place.
Yeah.
And, you know, Long Island City with the New York City skyline would be a beautiful place to find. It's amazing. Talk to me too, Joe, like, because you constantly realign yourself and you're very much aware of your intention and what you want to create. Yeah. And you're self-aware too as a result of that. What is your definition of happiness? Big question.
My definition of happiness. Well, a lot of it has to do with what I just said, you know, and being able to see how my intentions fall in line with what's actually happening. You have good intentions and then your actions, they you know, they should manifest into what it is that you're intending to do. And I feel like, you know, I've always said to myself, if I can make 75% of the people that I see in one day happy, then I think I've had a good day.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, obviously myself, you know, you have good days, you have bad days. Everybody does. You know, I don't want to make it seem like every day is a perfect day.
Exactly. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, being in the service industry, you know, it's important to understand that, you know, it's important to be a servant.
Yeah.
You know, you are a servant. I am a servant and it's a blessing, but my happiness, it's how effective was I that day at being that person to help push these people who need the assistance to get to their next level, you know? So for me, it's being able to have that, being able to spend good time with my family, you know, and not have them get lost in the shuffle, because it's very easy to do that, you know?
Yeah.
I know I have a lot of friends that hire people to, you know, basically raise their kids. You know, I try not to judge, you know, because it's what works for them.
Of course.
But I know for me, it's very important to have that closer attachment to my son and to my wife, just because that's just who we are, you know.
Yeah.
So for me to have that going, you know, along with the business stuff, that to me is happiness.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. So it's very much so.
I think what you said there, Joe, like that self-awareness, figuring out what drives you or your happiness being your North Star. I mean, moving to New York, I've met lots of interesting people. And obviously being a podcast producer, I get to meet lots of interesting people and people through those people. And one thing that I found, and I also don't judge, is that what you just said there, that a lot of business people hire people to raise their children. Mm. And what they really want is to be at home with their children. I don't judge that. But what I find fascinating is I think they've got it the other way around. If you want to be at home with your children, you should hire people to run your business, not raise your children.
Oh, yeah.
So it does have a huge component of self-awareness in there.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, I've got some fireside questions for you. Would you like to answer them?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number one, if you could invite three people to dinner, dead or alive, who would they be and what would you cook for them? I bet you it's like some healthy meal.
My goodness, probably not. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so person number one that I would invite to my home to cook for them or to order out?
Whatever you like.
I cook. Person number one would definitely have to be Gianni Versace.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Yes.
I bet you'd get like a free suit out of that dinner.
Yes, yes. I mean, the man was a legend.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know, I saw the Netflix special that they had on him. I already known a few things about him, but I just feel like he's such an interesting person.
Yeah.
And he had so much passion that he brought to his clothes. And the fact that you still talk about Versace long after he's been gone, I would love to hear what he has to say about that, you know, and I always joke around saying I was Italian in my previous life because I've been to Italy so many times. Yeah. So we would have a seafood dinner prepared by myself. Yeah.
For him.
Yeah. So that's one, right? Yeah. I have to have someone who's in the music industry as well. I would have to have, Russell Simmons.
Yeah.
Russell Simmons. Yes.
He would be great.
Yeah. So totally have Russell Simmons, and he's a vegan. So we would do vegan burgers.
Vegan burgers.
Yeah. I did vegan for a whole year, so it's not completely foreign to me. But, you know, he's one of those hip hop pioneers that he paved the way for a lot of people, and he's brown and, he's well received in any crowd and, you know, definitely well respected. So the last person would be a female. Because I can't have
quality.
We got to have. Yeah. Notice how none of them are fitness.
I was gonna say.
No. But you know, I think the third one would be a young Jane Fonda.
Ooh,
yeah, yes. A young Jane Fonda.
Because if we could all look like Jane Fonda at
85,
and have that memory.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, she's super sharp. You know, super sharp. You just got to give it to her. Like she's absolutely hot early on.
She's still hot.
She had a career, amazing career that's still going on, right? Yeah. But yeah, we would just have American food and it would be nothing healthy.
Absolutely.
It would be onion rings and, you know, I don't eat meat, but I would eat meat that night if we were hanging out.
Absolute legend.
Icons. Only eating dinner with icons. That's it.
You only bend the rules for icons.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you, Joe?
I do.
Where do you draw the line with communication in the bathroom?
Where I draw the line?
Like, do you take phone calls? Do you take meetings?
No, I don't take phone calls in the bathroom. Yeah. Okay. So it's strictly texting, social media. Yeah.
Non-voice related
stuff.
All right. That makes sense. And it's also, I think it's an efficient use of your time.
It is.
Some people are like, no, I'm going there to do the one thing and I'm happy doing the one thing.
Well, when you have a four-year-old running around your house, sometimes that's literally the only place that you can go to get something done. I love my boy. I love Alex. But, you know, sometimes you need to close that door for a good, few, I'm not going to tell you how long. you may judge me. but, it's definitely helpful.
Right.
The office away from the office. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Joe, another question that I have is, what would you do if you were a fish?
If I was a fish?
Big questions today. From fish and happiness, something about.
Oh, man. I tell you, if I was a fish, what would I do? I tell you, I'd...
Not many people have to think about that, which is why I asked the question. Like, I've never thought about that before.
That's great. Yeah. So if I was a fish, I'd say I would try to go as deep as possible to be away from anything that looked like a human being.
Ooh, nice. Because you want to.
Yeah, we just did the aquarium the other day.
Yeah.
You know, and you walk into the aquarium in Brooklyn and you've got like these people standing outside, you know, that are all about, you know, hating what's going on and the treatment of the animals. You know, and some of that obviously is true. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, stay away from the humans.
Absolutely. No.
Stay away from the humans.
If I was a fish, I may be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Or I'd probably pretend I was like Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah. You could.
Go to Sydney.
Yeah.
Flights are cheap. In the water. Travel definitely. By sea.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Another question, Joe. When was the first time you saw a Puerto Rican represented in mainstream media?
Interesting, because, you know, you had a lot of Puerto Ricans that would change their names. Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you couldn't get a spot in Hollywood or in most industries with a Hispanic sounding last name. I would say Puerto Rican, I'd say John Leguizamo. And then also, I forget his name, but the Adams family, what was his name?
Gomez.
Yes, Gomez.
Yeah.
We were just talking about him. He died so young, but he was... I really enjoyed watching him.
Yeah.
It's killing me that I'm forgetting his name right now. But
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I remember for me, like, there weren't very many Sri Lankans around other than MIA, who came out a lot later, and the cricket team, the cricket team. And also I think there was one athlete, but I didn't see many Sri Lankans in mainstream media, in Australia especially. But it was really, really interesting when I first saw him. Like, oh, there are more Sri Lankans outside
of
400 cousins right here. That's great.
Yeah.
Also, Joe, tell me, do you have an evening routine?
Evening routine? Yes, I do. It's very important to me. And it's spending time with my wife, hugging my son, putting him to sleep.
Yeah.
Once I get home from work, that includes, you know, train to the car, to the house, small dinner, nothing too big because I don't like to eat too heavy before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Spending time with my wife and watching like maybe an hour's worth of TV that isn't heavy at all.
That's
something that you could laugh about and just something that's not going to keep me up late at night.
Right.
Then I get into another round of like meditation. So,
fantastic.
And that I have to do it before I go to sleep because that actually helps me with my sleep. Otherwise my brain is still talking.
To you.
At like 1-2 o'clock in the morning. So, but the meditation brings it down.
Yeah.
So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, Joe, thank you so much for spending time with me on the Denise
Show.
Being great to know these different sides to you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
We will put the throwdown details in our show notes and that kind
Beautiful.
Of thing. But where
Beautiful.
Can the good people find you on social media?
On social media, you can reach us at ThrowdownNYC. We are in the process of expanding as well. So we're going to be offering some more classes and some more private training. And we're looking to have a lot of fun doing it. So thank you.
Fantastic. There you go, Joe Vega, guys. Make sure you check out Throwdown NYC on Instagram, on Facebook as well.
Yep, Throwdown NYC.
There you go. It'll be all in the show notes. Mm. Fantastic. The Genius